Rule 20 under Rule 21 in the Senate rules. First, Senate File 778, the committee report on Senator Pappas's bill.
Do you want me to go down there, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Peterson B., welcome to the Rules Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Should I continue?
Senator Peterson, just if you tell us why you think the committee referral was not accurate, if there's some other place you think it should have gone other than judiciary.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The reason is very simple. The Senate File 778 seeks to call a union election of providers, many of whom fall under the Parent Aware rating system, our early childhood providers. There was an appropriation in the last biennium of some millions of dollars. There's also a simultaneous piece of legislation this session that seeks to appropriate $185 million to those providers. In fact, some of whom testified in Senator Pappas's committee in regards to unionization. These are early childhood providers, appropriations coming from the E-12 finance budget in large amounts, and it absolutely, in my opinion, is one of the most significant state policy changes as it relates to early childhood education in a long time, and it affects virtually every single one of them. I think it's absolutely an appropriate conversation to have in the Education Policy Committee. More than that, Mr. Chair, there's language in the bill that explicitly refers to quality rating systems and early childhood providers. I think it's well within the purview of education policy, and I think it's a discussion that I think we ought to have.
Any discussion? Senator Pappas.
Mr. Chairman, the bill is going to Judiciary Committee next, and then I believe the Finance Committee wants to see it. There's been no request from the chair of the Education Committee to see this bill.
But the Education Finance Committee may see it?
It would be up to the finance chair where he would send it.
Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would anticipate it would go to the K-12. If I can't absolutely make the guarantee, but I would assume if it comes to the Finance Committee, I would then send it to the E-12 Finance Division. The other thing, Mr. Chairman, is every year as we reach the deadline, all of us forget, no matter how senior, that the Finance and Tax Committees do not have a deadline. So if we have the bill referred to us by the deadline, I assume, Senator Pappas, that's what you intend to do, you know, we can hear it whenever we want. But it would be my intent, in all likelihood, to send it to the E-12 Finance Division.
Senator Peterson?
Mr. Chair, that would be, if that's the plan, then I have no further objections. If the plan is to refer the bill to E-12 Finance Division, then I think that's very suitable.
Well, Senator Peterson, I will talk with Senator Cohen so that becomes the path.
And Mr. Chairman, if I might, Senator Peterson, from listening to the discussion, that would be my sense. I'm not absolutely making that guarantee because this is the first time I've heard about the bill, obviously. I'm not going to be disingenuous in that regard. But in terms of seeing the language, this is the first I've seen of it. So if Senator Pappas sends it, asks that it be re-referred to the Finance Committee, I'm guessing it ends up in E-12. I mean, I normally don't hear keep bills in the full committee and just have them heard in the full committee. Usually I'll send them to a division. But I don't want to say absolutely make that an ironclad guarantee. That, from what I'm hearing, that would be my inclination, though.
Mr. Chair, well, I certainly hope that's the case, and you had mentioned it. I offline here, out of respect for the committee's time,
sure.
I'd be happy to make the what I think is a very explicit connection between CCAP funds and these providers and the nexus for it being referred to that committee. But I appreciate the willingness to consider that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Peterson. Senator Pappas moves to adopt the committee report on Senate File 778. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Contrary, no. Motion prevails. So the bill will go to Judiciary, and then Senator Peterson and I will have a conversation while Senator Cohen will take a look at what the financial impacts in the bill are. So.
Thank you.
assuming they...
Senator Dibble and Senator Limmer are here. Senator Limmer objected to the reference of Senate File 925, the Dibble bill. Senator Limmer, it came to the floor.
That's correct.
Where is it you think it should have gone?
Mr. Chair and members, I believe this should go to Finance Committee.
Seriously, just go there.
I have a preliminary report, and if the clerk could pass it out, Paige, you can all see the indication. My apologies to Senator Dibble. I did not know of this report during our discussion yesterday. As you know, you may know that in the judiciary we dealt with this issue, and the bill was passed out of committee to the floor. And late in the afternoon, actually, I had ordered a fiscal note to see if there was any cost to the bill in the first week. Now, the bill was introduced on the 28th of February, so it's only been around us for 2 weeks. That first week, I ordered the fiscal note, but it didn't come to me until late in the afternoon yesterday. That's why I didn't bring it up. I didn't have any reference to bring it up at the time of the committee hearing. But there seems to be some estimate in this preliminary note of $688,000. That would be due to an clearing of certain insurance funds. Now, this is only a preliminary note. I don't know if there's any added expenses to it, but I think it certainly would cause us to pause a little bit to get the full ramifications of the fiscal cost. There may be other costs, let's say court costs, once we enact or expand the definition of marriage, that will also expand the use of the courts for certain divorces or legal proceedings. That is not included in the preliminary note. And so as a result of the note before you, I thought it was appropriate for us to consider moving this to a finance committee before it goes directly to the floor.
Senator Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Some time ago, I was involved in a conference involving some uniform laws to recodify our criminal code. And in that discussion, it came up that there would be a substantial cost involved in not adopting any substantive changes, but just procedural changes to the criminal code would really involve a lot of money. When I look at this particular bill, it seems to me that in some form or fashion, as a result, you know, if this bill were to pass, we will be looking at recodifying the divorce or domestic relations statutes, the probate statutes. There is many, many statutes involved in the state of Minnesota that address the relationship of marriage simply because it has been recognized in the state of Minnesota as to be such a special relationship that we have made special accommodations for married couples. And if this bill were to pass, it would sure seem to me that we would have to go through our statutes and see how this bill affects the definition of marriage insofar as our various statutes are concerned. I would think that there would be a cost to that, and it would be appropriate for the Finance Division to obtain a full-fledged fiscal note and take a look at it.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kwan.
Chairman and Senators Limmer and Newman. Okay, I'm just looking at this fiscal note for the first time, so I want to try to absorb it. So I want to address the second part of this, and that is the potential cost to the courts, and we've never had in the Finance Committee that I can recall legislation that does something with the courts. You know, if we change the no-fault law, if we add a cause of action, we've never had for whatever purpose, we've never had a bill brought to the Finance Committee because it might increase a workload for a judge in a particular district. Senator Limmer, I don't know that maybe when you were chairing the Judiciary Finance Committee, I don't know if you looked at bills like that. I don't recall that. And to be fair, Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, I didn't serve on your committee the previous 2 years. But I don't recall that we've ever brought into the Finance Committee bills because it ends up being a little bit more of a workload for the court. What happens is, as you know, Senator Limmer, that if the Supreme Court and the District Court Association makes a determination that there is the need for more trial court judges because the caseload has increased by X number of cases, they'll come to us and ask for more judges. That obviously becomes a finance decision. But I'm not aware that with the passage of a policy bill we've ever done that.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Limmer.
In reference to Senator Cohen's advice, I was only a chairman, as you know, for 2 years in the majority in the Judiciary Committee. But we paid a particular close attention to judiciary costs because of the very acute need. And we came in, as you know, the previous administration had somewhat gutted the budget of the judiciary. And we were trying to at least get it up to surface by the time. And the legislature agreed to that priority. It was very important for us to sustain the costs of the court. We aren't out of the woods yet, Mr. Chair, and we got them up to surface, but they're not necessarily going. All you have to do is look at their requests this year. I think they still have a very acute need, and it's very important that if there's any burden on the courts at this time, this needs to be examined and analyzed to determine if they can handle this. This is simply a need to look at in the event that we go down this new path, as Senator Dibble's bill suggests, that we prepare for it if it does happen. The cost on the insurance obviously is before us in the preliminary draft, but I'm bringing up the note on the court cost simply because, as Senator Newman had suggested, there's whenever you start building the relationships legally, now all of the consequences of law will fit into that as well. This is a very real issue, real problem, and it does have to be addressed.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Gazelka.
I would like to make a motion that we indefinitely postpone the vote. I'd like a roll call on it, and I would like it, I think it's Rule 12.1, recorded in the journal if there's three hands that raise their hands.
Postpone.
On the Gazelka motion to indefinitely postpone action on the committee report, roll call has been requested. Senator Gazelka.
12.1, record in the journal if three hands are with me.
So this gets written on the journal just about. It's 12.10. He does need three hands.
Find two more. It does. The clerk will call the roll on the Gazelka motion.
Senator Bach.
No.
Senator Cohen.
No.
Senator Fischbach.
Yes.
Senator Gazelka.
Yes.
Senator Han.
Yes.
Senator Limmer.
Yes.
Senator Marty.
No.
Senator Metzen.
No.
Senator Newman.
Yes.
Senator Pappas.
No.
Senator Sieben.
No.
Eric says.
Senator Skoy.
No.
Senator Stumpf.
Yes.
Here's what I have. I have yes, Tim. I have question marks. Miller, Sachs. Well, but Eric's telling me that we normally would have this in 5 minutes.
Being 7 no's and 6 yeses, the motion does not prevail. Senator Skoy moves adoption of the committee report on Senate File 925.
Mr. Chair, could Senator I get an understanding of the motion? Are we trying to decide the question of whether this goes to finance or not?
The appropriate motion, Senator Limmer, is to adopt the committee report, which would send it to the floor. Somebody could offer an amendment to the adoption of the committee report that would change it to finance.
I'd like to so move that amendment, Mr. Chair.
Senator Limmer moves to amend the committee report that the bill be referred to finance rather than the floor.
And ask for a roll call,
Mr. Chair. And ask for a roll call. Senator Hand.
And Mr. Chair, I'd also like to invoke Rule 12.1 or 10 regarding the recording of the vote in the record. Senate Journal.
Sure. That's fine.
You need three hands.
You find three?
And
got them. Okay.
And Mr. Chair?
Senator Hand.
And further clarification, and perhaps Mr. Bodern can answer. If Senator Limmer's motion fails, are we back then to the original motion to send it to the floor? If that motion fails, does that mean that the bill remains in the Rules Committee until such time as the Rules Committee takes action? Is that the procedure?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hand, that's correct. If a motion to adopt the committee report were to fail, the Rules Committee would still have the bill in its possession.
So, and Mr. Chair and Mr. Bonner, so just so that we understand that if the Limmer motion fails, and then the motion to take up to adopt the report to send it to the floor, if we vote in favor of that, then we are, in effect, voting in favor of the bill to be progressed. Is that correct? We're voting for the substance of the bill. Is that how to interpret the vote?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Hand, I don't take it to be a vote on the substance of the bill. It's adopting the committee report insofar as where the committee report sends the bill, whether it refers it to general orders or elsewhere. What the committee has before it under Rule 21 is simply the report of the previous committee and the reference contained in that report.
Senator Limmer.
We may have lost focus a little bit of the preliminary report. I might just add a very brief comment that this is a partial report. It's a preliminary report, and we're already up to almost a little over two-thirds of $1 million, and the court costs have not even been addressed yet. I think to be responsible to the citizens of our state, I think it would be appropriate to send this to a finance committee so we can vet it properly.
I think we're going to, Senator Cohen is consulting with our chief fiscal analyst. We should have an answer whether they think it needs to go there or not shortly. Senator Cohen.
Well, Mr. Chairman and members, we're trying to establish if there's been any precedent, and I'm not sure that there has been. I hesitate a little bit. There's no question in terms of court costs, Senator Limmer. The bill absolutely does not have to come to finance for that purpose. But I think where I think we've expanded benefits, where it's been a secondary issue, I'm not sure we've had those in finance. where it's been a secondary issue. Because what we don't know is, and this is the first I've seen this, and this is a preliminary fiscal note, so it's not the final fiscal note, but we assume X number of state employees. We don't know how many people would actually get married. We don't know how many people would be covered by this new statute who are in state service. And usually with a fiscal note, we have some specificity. I mean, we know that if we're going to expand benefits to the entirety of the state employees, we know how many employees there are. In this instance, how many state employees will avail themselves of the opportunity for a same-sex marriage? You know, that's problematic. As I read this fiscal note, they're assuming everybody. And I'm not sure how they even, for instance, as reported in the 2010 U.S. Census, households and families, 13.97% Minnesotans live in unmarried partner relationships when eliminating married households from the total households. And this suggests there's, applying this percentage to the benefit eligible employees not identified as married, this suggests there's an estimated 2,964 employees living in unmarried coupled households. How do we know that? It could be zero. Maybe it could be 5,000. So that's where this fiscal note doesn't work, is because it's totally guesswork. And usually when we have fiscal notes, it's not just simply guesswork. That's what concerns me about this fiscal note. It's based on assumptions, and the assumptions aren't even Minnesota assumptions. They are national assumptions.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Limmer.
Mr. Chair, I would agree with you. There may not be a precedent. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't. At least at our short notice, we don't have that knowledge. But the bill itself has not provided us. This is a new precedent just in the bill itself. And it's recognizing an expansion of marriage for a certain number of people. Senator Cohen, you're even questioning the preliminary report of whether it's, we just don't know. I'll give you that benefit. And that should be even more of an argument that says that maybe we should look at this to see if there's any unknown costs that are coming beyond the preliminary report. We already have a preliminary indication that it's going to cost us some money, and it may even trigger more for the state. We do have a responsibility to balance that budget. And I, quite honestly, I think that the very reason you say that you are questioning the numbers shouldn't be reason to say no to a financial analysis. It should be one that says, yes, we should look at it. And it's not going to take a lot of time either.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, that's where I have some concern. We'll never know the answer. I'm looking on page 4 now. Expenditure and revenue formula. Number of active employees, 51,701. Employees identified as married. Number of dependent spouses enrolled. Because we're talking about the dependent spouses. Then we have estimate of unmarried partners. By the way, are the unmarried partners, you talk about unmarried partners. We're getting, this isn't exactly my area of expertise, but are we talking about unmarried partners who are same sex or different sex of the unmarried partners? That's not specified. But then we have estimate of same-sex households, which are 8.7% of unmarried households attributed to same-sex, 259. Estimated to marry, 143. How do we know that? Midpoint between 132 and 153. This is an unusual fiscal note. It's a fiscal note built on an assumption, on an assumption, on an assumption, on an assumption. And, I mean, it seems to me this kind of fits into you know, how many angels fit on the head of a pin. And, you know, I'm not sure that we'd ever have any ability to figure this out. So, Mr. Chairman, Senator Metzen.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
You know, these are just hypothetical numbers. We don't know what they're going to be. But every time we do something in this building, we ask the department to do something, I need three more people. All right, you've got 1,800 administration, you got 400 here, but I need three more people. I need $180,000. You know what I tell them? it. Just do it with the people you have. Now, we got a $36 billion budget here. And pretend some of these numbers are correct. If they are, find the money. There's money out there, and that, you know, we don't know the numbers, but I think we ought to move on. And but again, if there's some money involved, find it. The departments find it.
On the Limmer motion to amend the committee report to re-refer the bill to finance, clerk will call the roll.
Senator Bach.
No.
Senator Cohen.
No.
Senator Fischbach.
Yes.
Senator Gazelka.
Yes.
Senator Han.
Yes.
Senator Limmer.
Yes.
Senator Marty.
No.
Senator Metzen.
No.
Senator Newman.
Yes.
Senator Pappas.
No.
Senator Sieben.
No.
Senator Skoy.
No.
Senator Stumpf.
Yes.
On a vote of 7 no and 6 yes, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. On the Skoy motion to adopt the committee report.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Han.
And if I could get clarification again from Mr. Bodern, perhaps. I'm looking at Mason's and Section 673 motion to adopt committee reports. And my reading is that when a committee report, when there's a motion to approve the report, has the effect of endorsing the statement or expressing the approval of the substance of the report as well. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Han, I'll refer you first to Rule 21, which is how this bill came before the Rules Committee. What Rule 21 says is that a bill must be referred without debate to the Committee on Rules and Administration to report the proper reference. And upon adoption of the report of the Committee on Rules and Administration, the bill must be referred accordingly. I wouldn't interpret under Rule 21 the action the Rules Committee is taking here today to, or Mason's rather, to have any bearing on this specific motion proceeding. I think it simply deals with adopting the committee report insofar as the reference contained in the committee report.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Bodern, I guess I'm struggling a little bit and just trying to make it clear my understanding that the provision Mason's suggests that when we adopt a committee report, we are adopting the policy that the report expresses as well. And so I guess I would take it to mean that if we adopt the committee report, we are adopting the substance of the policy as well. And I just think that members ought to be clear about that.
On the Skoy, on the Skoy motion,
and I
rule.
Wish to invoke Rule 1210 again, three hands.
Three hands. It'll be printed in the journal.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Marty.
Just wanted to say, in looking at this, I just mentioned to Senator Cohen and others that I think the governor has indicated several times in the last year he intends in the next state employee contract to have domestic partner benefits in there. Since he's the opposite side from the unions that will be asking for it because they've indicated they want to, it seems to me there's nothing as certain in life, but it seems to me 99.9% certain there are going to be domestic partner benefits in the next contract, which I believe begins July 1st, in which case whether these households are married or not married makes zero difference in terms of the benefits, which means that all these other assumptions go out the window because there'd be no additional cost.
All right. On the Skoy motion to adopt the committee report.
Senator Bach.
Yes.
Senator Cohen.
Yes.
Senator Fischbach.
No.
Senator Gazelka.
No.
Senator Han.
No.
Senator Limmer.
No.
Senator Marty.
Yes.
Senator Metzen.
Yes.
Senator Newman.
No.
Senator Pappas.
Yes.
Senator Sieben.
Yes.
Senator Skoy.
Yes.
Senator Stumpf.
No.
On a vote of 7 yes and 6 no, the motion prevails. The committee report is adopted. Rules committee is adjourned.